Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. We have a bright, sunny pre-fall day, I'll call it. It's getting a little cool in the morning, but sun comes out and it's nice during the day. I love this time of year and spring when we're in between. A couple of announcements in your bulletin. Sunday school hour today is we're going to be talking about the merging of all the persecutions of both Christians and Jews in the first century. On Tuesday, if you can help at Salvation Army, Roger Linden has taken this over now instead of Bernie, I was informed this morning, so get a hold of him and let him know that you're able to assist. Next Sunday afternoon, we have a service at Waterview Pines, and I think I mentioned this before, but when we showed up last time, the spiritual director was surprised that we were there, and so I talked with her a little bit, and she said that she doesn't know when any church is coming to provide services, and in fact, most Sundays there is nobody providing services. So she does a little like Bible study or something with the folks, and I don't know what that means. Who want to come? So I think our attendance there, our showing up there, is probably really appreciated by more than just the folks who are there. Takes a little bit off of her plate. On the inside of the bulletin, on the right-hand side, the lower part is about the awards that the Covenant Companion magazine won last year, and you can take a look through that. And as you know, what I'm trying to do, since we don't have a newsletter at this point, I'm trying to put pieces of things every week in what we would normally put in the newsletter. And then a couple of personal announcements. This week, Bernie and the ladies gave me a tour of the Christmas Child work here as they were finishing the boxes and I think taken over to the Baptist Church or very soon being taken over to the Baptist Church to be shipped out for Operation Christmas Child. And these ladies are workers. We had a coffee break at 10 o'clock that Bernie invited me to. And I went down there and got my cup of coffee, and then she gave me a tour for, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or something like this. And their coffee break was they took a sip of coffee and went right back to work. And so while I was doing nothing, they were working. If you get a chance, probably next year, to visit with the ladies when they do this, I think you'll be impressed at how detailed they are and how they figure out all these techniques to jam this little shoebox with so much stuff. Bernie said there, when the shoeboxes get over to Congo, is it, where they go?
All over the world.
Oh, all over the world. That sometimes when they're received, there's very little in the shoe boxes, and sometimes there's just like dirty clothes or something like that. It's just crazy. But these ladies they're sewing like crazy to sew little clothes for the dolls and for bags that the little kids can carry their stuff in, and it's just amazing. Yeah, I was going to tell you about my adventure with electronics this week, but that's coming to the point where electronics just annoys me, so I'm just going to ignore that entirely. Would you stand with me if you'd like to and join with me in the call to worship? One generation commends your works to another. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty.
And I will meditate on your wonderful works.
They tell of the power of your awesome works.
And I will proclaim your great deeds.
They celebrate your abundant goodness.
And joyfully sing of your righteousness.
So let's do that. Joyfully sing of your righteousness. Hymn number 614, Christ, You Call Us All to Service. Would you join with me this morning in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
First passage for today is Psalm 124, and that is on Pew Bible page 471. Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us away. The raging waters would have swept us away. but praise be to the Lord, who has let us not be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The second passage is from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, and that is found on Pew Bible page 921. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. May God add his blessing to his word.
Our opportunity now to provide from our financial resources to the Lord. As I've mentioned before, probably will mention again, we believe that the Lord speaks to his people and that his people work at hearing him about giving. And so what the Lord has laid on your heart is what we do. And we do it joyfully. Gail, if you would, come forward, please. Let's pray together. Lord, we're just so grateful for all of your goodness to us. And as we read in your word, you are good to all, even to evil and unbelieving men. You give good things. And so in return, because we love you, we return to you good things, even if others on this planet are not doing so. We do so to honor you. We ask that you'd bless our gifts to further your kingdom and to bring glory to you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing the doxology? Thank you. You may be seated. Join me in prayer, if you would. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have always been giving thanks for each other. Here, as we support each other in the name of Jesus, we also give you thanks for all of our brothers and sisters across the Iron Range. Because of the faith that we have seen in each other, and the samples of faith that we have seen in our brothers and sisters across the Iron Range, and the love that exists between us. That faith and love springs from a hope that is stored in us, that hope that you've given to us. Hope for heaven, the hope for the word of truth having an impact in our lives, that gospel. We thank you, Father, that all over the world the gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among us and our friends and brothers and sisters, and even those who currently don't know you, haven't come to kneel before you. And so we ask these things, Father. Fill us all, your people, with the knowledge of your will. Give us your spiritual wisdom and understanding in all matters, because our wisdom and understanding is so limited. And we ask this so that we could live a life worthy of you, and so that we can please you in every way possible. Strengthen us with your power according to your glorious might. Not ours, because again, we are so limited. Give us endurance, patience, and joy, and help us to constantly be thankful to you, even when we're asking from you. Help us to remember to be thankful to you, as Paul taught us in his prayers, in his letters. Thank you for qualifying us to have an inheritance with our brothers and sisters, and for the gift of being in the kingdom of God, the privilege of being called children of the Most High God. We thank you, as we learned last week, that you have purchased us and rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and you've brought us into the kingdom of your Son, Jesus, this Son whom you love, this Son with whom you are well pleased. And we thank you further that you have also redeemed us from our sins, that you've washed our sins away, not because we deserve it, but because of your great love, graciousness, and desire to have a people who will love you in return, which today we will say, we do love you in return, Father. We come to you with these thanksgivings, these requests, and our thoughts. through the name of your Son, King Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth, who has changed the world. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 87? And let's sing another. Shirley played a very familiar song for us, hymn for us, during the offering. This is another very familiar hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you for not playing the sixth verse, which I couldn't pronounce anyway. I don't even know what language is it. What is it? Norwegian? German? Finnish?
Swedish.
Oh, Swedish. Okay. My mother was Swedish. Well, today, if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 4, we're going to spend the beginning time, most of the time, just reading from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Starting in chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread over all Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And then turn over a few pages to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Continuing on in Matthew, verse 5, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, very truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Skipping a couple of verses down to verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore all our diseases. Skipping down a few more verses to verse 28. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. He said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Moving on to chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town, which was Capernaum, by the way. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this time, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. What I wanted to do in reading this, my project was to go to the Bible, start with Matthew, and instead of looking at the teachings of Jesus, look at what he did. What we read up to this point are all the historical accounts of what Jesus did, other than his teaching. There are 28 historical accounts like these in Matthew's gospel alone. And we know that Mark, Luke, and John contain some of these historical episodes, some of them in greater detail. 11 of the accounts in the book of Matthew, 11 of those 28 record that healings, deliverances occurred with large groups of people or great groups of people. Now, we don't know how many were in those large or great groups, but it says he healed them all. And I don't know if that astounds you or not, but it astounds me because today I just try to get healing for one person. But it says he healed them all. Everyone who came to him, he healed them all. Every demon-possessed man or perhaps woman that came to him, he delivered them all. And now over into the Gospel of John. And you know this one. It's at the very end, chapter 21 of the Gospel of John. You know these words because you've read them before. The very last verse in John. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. We can safely say that Jesus healed, delivered, raised from the dead, totaled together thousands of people. Let that sink in, so you can have a sense of the impact Jesus was making in Israel at that time. So why were the things he was doing, why was it healing, deliverance, and raising people from the dead? In addition to teaching, don't get me wrong, I'm not dismissing it, I'm just focusing today. In addition to preaching, which would be similar to teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we talked about that before, I think last year, what the gospel meant to Jesus. Why? Well, Jesus explains why in John chapter 5, starting with verse 16. It's not complicated, not for Jesus anyway. It's complicated for me. Here's his explanation. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed, which I am, at all the thousands of people that were healed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so the title of the sermon, for Jesus, it's simple. I only do what I see my Father doing. That's all the explanation. This is who God is, and so I just do it. Simple, straightforward. How did he do it? Well, he spoke healing to people. He touched people for healing. People touched his cloak, his garment, whatever that is called, tunic, and were healed. What healings were delivered? Well, we're told various diseases. So if you're thinking of something, an illness, a disease, a condition that's not in this list that I've taken from Matthew in the verses we read, just put it under various diseases, okay? Severe pain, seizures, paralyzed, leprosy, fever, dead, bleeding, blind, mute, lame, crippled. So my observations. Well, my first observation, and I've mentioned this before, is healing is a challenge for me. And maybe like you, maybe not. For many years, I would say, why aren't you healing me? And then the scriptures come back to me. The Spirit of God in me reminds me what he always said to his disciples. Oh, you of little faith. It's not God. It's me. And I'm working on that, by the way. I am working toward building more faith. I have had victories when it comes to healing. About 5.5 years of shingles, 14 episodes, and eventually I was healed. In the spring of 2019, my last episode of shingles. I lost 4 or 5 teeth in the process, but got healing. And I thought, good, I'm going on cruise. Put my car on cruise. Just after I was done with that, a few months later, April 1st, 2020, COVID. I had already gotten my first vaccine. I went to the doctor April 1st, 2020, and got my second vaccine, and I had a severe reaction to that vaccine, whole right side of my body. A year and a half that went on, but I'm healed. You're beginning to get what I'm thinking? And I was healed in December of 2022. Get my dates right here. January 2023, I get COVID. And my chronic bronchitis, it kicked up my chronic bronchitis, which had been not a nuisance at all. And now I've got a nuisance. And that lasted for about a year, that the results of COVID. And I'm healed. Are you at my question yet? My question was, I read in this book, and people were healed immediately. Why does it take 5.5 years, a year and a half, a year in each of these episodes for me? And you know by now the reply I got. Oh, ye of little faith. Okay, I get it, Lord. I'm going to work on this. And Kathy knows me when I'm like a dog with a bone. And so I'm on a mission. But I don't want to talk about healing today. Don't dismiss it. Jesus is the source of healing. But I want to put it in a different perspective. Going back to these verses that we read, here are the things that stuck out to me. Number one, there were no requirements that these folks, there are no requirements written in this book, in the verses that we read. There were no requirements for the people to get healed. They didn't have to come and repent. They didn't have to get baptized. They didn't have to be good church-going members for a few months or a few years. All they had to do was come to Jesus. Number two, the people came to Jesus. They cried out to him. They requested of him. You've probably been there. I've been there. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't quit doing that. Number three, the distinguishing mark, characteristic of Jesus' ministry were his miracles to people. The Jewish people appreciated that he turned the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. There are interesting sermons preached about that, which we won't go into. But the distinguishing mark for the people was that he healed people. He delivered people. He raised people from the dead. Let me pause here for a minute and remind all of us what repentance is. I don't like that word because it's such a churchy word. And you probably feel the same way. If you're talking to someone about the Lord, I avoid that word because it shuts down communication and turns people off. I use the English words, which are the literal translation of that Greek word. And it isn't repentance, even though that's what we have in our book. It's turning. We covered this a few months ago, too. All Jesus asked people to do is, you're going a certain way, turn and come to me. And that's what these people did. They heard about Jesus. They were busy in their daily life, and they heard he was in town, and they turned to him. That's all repentance is. I'll bet you do that a couple times a day. You're busy with your daily activities and your daily tasks, and then you just think about Jesus, and what do? You just turn to him. Maybe a moment, maybe more than a moment. That's all that it is turning to him. And then my fifth observation that I've already noted is that for these folks, they got immediate healing. Now, I know later in the Gospels, there's a couple of times where it wasn't immediate. 10 lepers who got cured of leprosy, it says, they went on their way after they met with Jesus and they were healed on the way. Okay, that's a little delay. Not 5.5 years. Oh, ye of little faith. Number 6. This is what the Father is doing. Can you imagine? Can we grasp that the Father loves people so much that he just gives out these gifts to people who we don't even know were believers? They just turned to Jesus. That's all they did. Uncomplicated. No theology. Just turn to Jesus. And by now, you've probably guessed that is the heart of my evangelism with people. In whatever condition they are, whatever situation they are, just turn to Jesus. He takes care of the rest. His Spirit is powerful and can perform miracles. I can't save anybody. The only one who saves is Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. So how do you get that? Just turn to Jesus in whatever way you can. And you've, I'm sure, read many stories of people, criminals in prison, drug addicts. I read a story this week about a Muslim who was committed to the active work of killing people. We've got labels for that, of course. Who found Jesus, and her determination was, she was supposed to wear a suicide vest. And her determination was, I'm not going to do that. I am going to instead go and talk to the chief boss of this group of people who are committed to killing people. And there were just layers and layers of security. And the Lord allowed her to process through all of those doors to be able to talk to this leader. And she just laid it out on the table. I found Jesus, changed my life. What we're doing is the wrong thing to do. Now, that leader had two choices, of course. But he took the good choice, and he became a Christian. He called all of his forces together and preached the gospel to them. And that whole group of people became Christians. And because of their activist heart for killing people in the name of Islam and Muhammad, because of their activist heart, they spread out in all of their surrounding area and became evangelists to the people in their area. Astounding to me, the power that God has. Number 7, good news of the kingdom. So I was watching Dr. David Jeremiah this morning while I was getting ready, having a piece of toast. Oh, and leftover fry bread from yesterday, which we heated up in our little air fryer, which worked really good, by the way, in case you want to reheat fry bread. It's just like buying it from the little van or whatever. So I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah today in reference to Jesus' gospel, preached the good news of the kingdom. And so I cheated. I got you all involved before you even knew it. Here's what Dr. David Jeremiah said about the gospel of the kingdom. Paraphrased, of course. Christians have been praying for the kingdom of God to come for 2,000 years every day. And of course I go, what do you mean by that? Well, it's the prayer that we prayed when we began today. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you imagine? We can't add up. It is beyond numbering the number of times that prayer for Jesus' kingdom to come has gone up to the Father. Number 8 observation. Jesus said, I am willing. If you're asking if he's willing, that's the answer. I am willing. And then my final observation. I struggle, I'll be honest. I don't know if you struggle or not, but I struggle with healing because I'd like everybody to be healed. I'd like to be able to go out on the streets of Virginia and just heal all who come. Because I'd like the glory of God to just explode across the Iron Range. O ye of little faith, I am reminded. I have to work on that. But here's the point that's really important for me and for you if you struggle as I do with having that healing power that you can heal anybody who comes in the name of Jesus. Here's the point. If God brings people back to life from death, if he heals all people, if he delivers all people, if that's true, then everything underneath that, all those little things, those daily things, those nuisances, those hassles, those problems that we encounter are nothing to him. If he's got the power to do that, he can help us do anything. Whatever it is, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know what's going on in mine. He is able. I only do what I see my Father doing. If you'd open your hymnals to hymn number 351, and no, I didn't pick this hymn. This was selected in the covenant suggested hymns for today. Didn't even know how it would fit in. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. 351. Another.